Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my beautiful co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. How are you doing?
Well, you already know I was whining before the show.
This is your hirsute phase. That means hairy and when we age, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, I think I'm just a whiner. Obsessive compulsive, you know. Oh, Lord. Anyway, tonight, I spend too much time in the healing room, trust me. Tonight's subject, we are Earth and Earth is us. There are 6.8 billion pieces in the puzzle of Earth, and each one of us is a piece of the puzzle. I love this one. This is a great metaphor that the team came up with, and I loved it. They're going to take us on a great meditation tonight, I think, give us an idea for a direct experience of this, which I'm very excited about. Let's talk about show dedication is to the continued support for the oil spill in the Gulf. We can make a difference. Please remember that, everybody. We've been thinking small for so long that we still don't believe that we can have the impact that we can. And there are some of you I know that are really getting it, that are really hooking into the idea that, yes, I really can make a difference, that, you know, my sending light and love and healing to anything can work. I mean, you're all healers, so this is the time for us all to do it. If there's been any other catastrophe this week, I haven't listened to the news, so I have no idea. I know sometimes people must think, gee, she has no idea about what's going on here and there. And, you know, I have to say I don't.
I don't really either. I get wisps of it at times. But every time I do a workout or anything, I cap that hole in the earth.
Oh, that's lovely, Veronica. Thank you. We're going to go back to last week a little bit. I'm kind of certain that everyone is still playing with the multidimensional concepts of parallel universes and multiple versions of themselves and this and other universes. It's such a broad concept, and if you're working with it, the more you do, the more you'll experience it in some fashion. Those of you who did not hear last week's show, I really highly recommend that you go back and listen to it for any of this to make sense.
We're not looking for logic here, Jackie, are we?
Oh, I know. Well, you're at the wrong show if you are. I do want to recommend again for all of you to order the CD from thehistorychannel.com. If you go to their website and you go into the search window, it's the only way you're going to find it, at least last time I was on there, and enter parallel universes, and then a single CD will come up. It's brand new. Evidently, it's only aired one time on television, and somehow my television recorded it. And, you know, this is when I remember that I am not in control of everything that happens in my home. But I will say that the team certainly has their own agenda, and when I get into that really bizarre space of realizing things are going on around me that I'm not orchestrating, or at least I'm not consciously orchestrating, it makes me giggle. But definitely in terms of triggering the opening of DNA and really opening up new neural pathways in the brain, it really is a must-see. I'm sure at some point it will be back on television, but, this is one that I would really recommend everybody have in their arsenal of material that they want to share with other people and want to review again themselves. So I also want to go a little further with it, Ronnie and I. I wanted to introduce this last week, and the team absolutely would not let me, which I thought was interesting. And they kind of have this philosophy about a piece, a piece, a piece, a piece, which I do understand. And they remind me that this is why I'm so ditzy all the time, is because I'm trying to take it all in, like you. I know you do the same thing with interviewing all the people you interview. You know, it's like, where do you put all that knowledge and information? And if I wasn't in channel all the time, I think it'd be a little easier, but I think it's that in and out of channel all day that goofs me up.
But you know what I think is, I think we're actually absorbing the information that's coming in and rising in such a way as we are. It's very holistic, because we are trying to be all of these things, and it's not logical. You can't do it logically.
No, it's, and I think it's organic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, some of the CDs that I have, especially Dr. Michael Ledwith, which is his stuff is really dry because it's straight lecture, you know, with absolutely no bells and whistles. But when you watch it, you absolutely know it's organic. You can feel it going into your cells. It's, to me, it's fascinating. So I agree with you, Ronnie. I think you're absolutely right. So, there's been an awful lot of speculation about the grays and where they come from. You know, people have identified, you know, specific planets and this and that and the other thing. We have to remember that we are dealing with past, present, and future when we're dealing with the other side of the veil, always. We can be dealing with someone or a being that can be from the past, from the present or parallel, or from the future. And certainly there are a number of beings and races that have come back from the future to assist us. There's no question about that. Bashar has referred only recently that the grays are us. He's always careful about, he kind of slips stuff in, a little piece here and a little drop there, and over the years, because I used to go to his channelings when they were even here in Las Vegas, which was 94, 95, I think 96. So there are universes with versions of us with different laws of physics, and this is something they talk about on the CD, which I thought was very, very interesting. And it really clicked to me about the grades. And, you know, I just want to say here, it's very possible that they pop in and out of a parallel universe and that they're really us, which I think is an interesting hypothesis, and I would just recommend that everybody play with it. I'm not saying it's an absolute. You know, I kind of sat down with John Mack tonight before the show, and I said, John, you know, is this your, okay, John Mack, Dr. John Mack, was a professor of psychiatry at Harvard, somebody I absolutely adored. He spent the last 10 years of his life dealing with the abduction phenomena. He wrote a book that certainly kind of turned everybody on their ear, called Abduction. And before he died in 94, but during the screening of his film Touch, which I was present for in San Francisco, one of the screenings, he announced during the Q&A that many of his patients had seen him aboard ship during their abduction. And, you know, somehow I knew that. I didn't know how I knew it. I just seemed to know it. And I thought it was such an interesting fact. And again, we're just starting to scratch the surface of this. But now, the team even has talked about, you know, the possibility that they are a version of us on an Earth that was not taken care of and that they abused for a number of reasons, and ended up having to go underground and so on and so forth. Now, you know, that is a possibility in a parallel universe that that is in fact the case, and that they have come, let's say, back from a future to work with us to make certain we don't do it to this version of Earth. That, for whatever reason, made so much sense to me, more than, you know, again, we're piecing things together here because that's the best we can do. Nobody's going to come right out and say, this is the way it is. We're not ready for that yet. They won't take away our the joy of discovery, which I think is very exciting. You know, somebody sat down and said, okay, I'm a channel, and here's everything, and you never have to learn anything. That'd be, you know. I think it would take away the fun, Ronnie. What do you think?
It is fun. It's a labyrinth, isn't it?
Yes, it is a labyrinth. And it's subjective.
Yeah,
you know,
I was just thinking that same thing, yeah.
It's subjective.
Opinion. A lot of it's just our, yeah, what we decide is right.
And that, I think, is what may be true for me may not be true for somebody else. Okay? So I would always say to everybody, don't assume that because I say it, it's right. You know, roll it around inside of you and see if it feels right for you. Okay? Anything that's talked about. Because ultimately, okay, every reality is true. I mean, as we start talking about parallel universes, everything and other versions of ourselves, you know, that every time we change our mind, change our direction, physical or otherwise, another version of us splits off. That really makes reality subjective, don't you think, Ronnie?
Yes, it's pretty confusing, but it means I'm always right, right?
If you choose to be.
My
and, you know, who am I to argue that point? Absolutely. I can't.
It is very perplexing because some of these things that I believe very deeply, I still sit there and go, it's really hard to comprehend, isn't it? It's really hard to understand.
Well,
in the moment.
In the moment. And I think, you know, as we listen to different, you know, I've been listening to another segment of Ancient Aliens came out, I think, a night or two ago. And I've been winding my way through. I finally got through the 2 hours because I don't have a lot of time. But again, you know, watching these two-hour segments, it's so interesting to me how, you know, people have come up with theories that could be possible, all right? I mean, they're even talking now about the plague being, you know, created by extraterrestrials to
wipe out
part of the population, right? And that they're, you know, they've gone back into ancient texts and not even ancient, back 17th century and so on. And I find it very, very interesting that even our founding fathers were great believers in extraterrestrials.
Huh.
Now, I found that fascinating. So this
Well,
lady...
I want to ask one thing here, Jackie, is that we keep hearing that they we're in quarantine and they can't interfere and so on. You know, so isn't there kind of an interesting conundrum there? Isn't that a confusion?
Okay, so just a moment. If the grays are really us,
all right.
That's not really interference.
That's right.
Okay.
Plus, if they're coming back from the future, who knows when they put the bubonic plague in?
Well, I mean, and you know, did they really? Again, you know, these are hypotheses. Like, you know,
very perplexing, aren't they?
Well, they're very, very interesting, and you know, I just watch this stuff and my little brain goes, okay.
It's like a hairdo. Sometimes it just doesn't sit right.
Oh, please. That's an inside joke, folks. I've been complaining about my hair. she just did. That was a little dig, and she absolutely is right. So, at any rate,
you, Jackie.
I know, I love it. Anyway, I think you're right. I think it is a conundrum, and I think that, you know, this has been a question so many people have had. If we're under quarantine, others have talked about the fact that they possibly were the one race that was allowed to monitor, you know, that they have been custodians of our planet. I mean, the grays have been popping in and out for thousands of years. So, you know, if you really watch the series, I mean, it's very specific, and the drawings certainly would allude to that. They certainly look like the grays to me, not all of them, but, you know, their depictions are awfully similar and all over the world. So, and remember that they've been creating other races through the work that they're doing, as well as monitoring us and also keeping us from hurting ourselves. In today's episode, it was, or, you know, this one I watched today, they were talking about the Holy Grail and that it's actually a piece of equipment that was created for the Jews when they were in the desert for 40 years to take manna, which came from heaven, and create some kind of a high-protein kind of thing for them to eat. And but that it gave up off things that would cause cancer, that it had, I don't know if it was plutonium or something of that nature. And they now are speculating that it's buried in this place in some island in Canada. And they've been trying to get into this thing for, it's a shaft, you know, going down underground, and it's so phenomenally put together that the question is whether or not they actually buried it on the earth to keep humans from hurting themselves, which I thought was very, very interesting. So, again, hypotheses. You know, I think we're going to see more hypotheses coming up now than we've ever, ever, ever seen before. And, again, subjective reality. People are going to look at what resonates for them and say, yep, that's it, I got it, that's right. So the fun part of being human is we start playing with some of these ideas is, okay, if we decide that that's right, is that right for us? Well, it would appear so. And that we can actually play our life out with different assumptions which we feel are true for us, and that we have been given that divine right to do so. And when we change our mind and go along a different path, creating other versions of ourselves that are following that path, I mean, it's pretty out there. But it's absolutely, to me, it makes so much sense. It's so fascinating. And so getting into tonight's show, which I think, my little brain's in overload lately. I'm going to start with this with a beautiful quote from Gillian Macbeth Luthen. We hold the flesh of the earth within every cell. Borrowed for a short time, we steward the earth through our every deed. I'm always fascinated when the team comes through and they say, let's do this, you know, or I'll say, let's do this, and then they'll say yes or no kind of thing, you know, or they'll tweak it. And this came through a couple of days ago, and I saw that quote, and I went, oh, there it is. So, you know, I'm always fascinated that things come through after there's been kind of a decision about what to do, that kind of put it together, or, you know, just to me, it's brilliant. I'm always kind of in awe. The visual that the team gave me was a picture of the earth like a giant puzzle with, as they said, 6.8 billion puzzle pieces, each one equally important, with great outcome or impact for the outcome of the earth. And that every person on the planet is aware at some subconscious level that they are participating in the Earth's evolution and ascension. Some are consciously aware. All right? That would be all of you listening to this broadcast tonight or whenever you listen to it, and all of the other wonderful light workers out there that are doing everything in their power to spread word about taking responsibility for the outcome of Earth. When I was putting this together, I remembered Lazarus saying that it's already done, that we succeed. And so then the question, you know, to me is, do we pick up our oars and coast along? I would say no. You know, we'd be so disappointed in ourselves if we did. Because the joy is in the journey. And I don't think we ever get to coast. I mean, you can, I guess, if you choose to. But, you know, and I'm sure lots of people listening to this will say, well, look at those people. They're coasting. They're not doing anything. But I'm not altogether certain that they're not, and that many of them aren't working in the dream state to assist the Earth as well, whether they're consciously aware of it or not. Certainly in Dolores Cannon's work with all of her regressions, as she's regressed these very innocent people, and you know, here they are out doing these amazing things and have no clue. So, you know, I'm always like, I mean, you know, as we start opening up them, I don't want to say can of worms, but in a way it is, because we start opening this up and it's like, boing. But I think what that really says in terms of what Lazara said is to take the fear out of everything and stay in our love and commitment about our stewardship. Without the fear piece, I think we can be much more effective, because with fear we tend to then project outside of ourselves, they're not doing their part, look at what they're doing, so on and so forth. Staying focused, knowing that it's already done, again, working with an optimum future so that you're allowing that future to pull you forward. So if we're all puzzle pieces, then we have a responsibility to heal and be aware of every thought and action that we have, because it does have impact. You know, I mean, so this, you know, with this idea of being a puzzle piece, it can't be any other way. We have to have impact because we're part of Earth. You know, going back to her quote, we hold the flesh of Earth within our every cell. Borrowed for a short time, we steward the Earth through our every deed. And I just love that. I just, to me, I thought that was such a powerful statement. And, you know, during the chakra activations, some of you don't know what that is, but it's something the team does. It's a technique. We go into the heart of Earth to experience all the beings that agreed to become Earth some 13.7 billion years ago. And they're all there, and we're there, you know, we're with them as well. We join with them to push the Earth through. And I think everybody that's ever done that has had this sensing when they go into the heart of Earth of a sense of reunion with these beings. They seem to know the being. This feeling, overwhelming feeling of love. I mean, yes, we're in the heart of Earth, of course. But, and the beings come forward more as kind of orbs of light. I don't know if anybody's ever seen them as, you know, physical manifestations with, you know, physiology, legs, arms, and so on. I never have. I've always seen them as orbs. But I've been having those experiences for many, many, many years with the beings that agreed to become Earth. And they used to contact me. It was like, I remember leaving Las Vegas once, and the Earth called me here. And it was almost crying, because Las Vegas is not a pretty place. And I'm thinking, God, the Earth needs me here. And it was such an overwhelming feeling. And I was doing a lot of shadow work at the time. And I realized that Las Vegas was like the shadow of the Earth. you know, with all the atomic testing that's gone on here out in the desert, and Area 51, and just with the consciousness of creating a society where everything is based on they win, we lose kind of thing. So I, you know, and plus the area has been abused in terms of its development and so on. It was just never, it's getting better, you know. But I don't know. I just feel like that this is, the earth itself is really, and I think it speaks to a lot of people, certainly not just to me. I know it speaks to you, doesn't it, Ronnie?
Oh, yes. Yes. But I'm feeling kind of, let me see. You're stronger about feeling the power of it all. I feel a little less that I'm able to do something to make a difference.
Right. Oh, well,
I'm not whining. I'm trying to pick up that enthusiasm.
Yeah, no. I know you're not whining. I agree with you. When it comes over me, it's like overwhelming. It's like this huge call that, you know, I have to do something. And I, being here, people have asked me why Las Vegas for the work. And it's interesting because every session goes through the violet flame transmuted and fed into the earth. So it's like feeding the earth here through every session. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a very interesting concept when they talked about being here. I mean, there were other reasons, but I thought that was, you know, it was fascinating that that was one of them.
It's a place of extremes, isn't it? The high
frequency and low. Yeah, it's the city of lights. It's where light and dark come together. It's mm-hmm. It's very interesting to me. Certainly, you know, the Middle East, where light and dark come together as well. So, again, you know, the team has really been, you know, kind of on me this week about this whole thing, about how the Earth affects the entire multiverse, that there's so much expected of us as a race. And I think this is really an interesting piece. That there is so much expected of us, that there, we are, whether we realize it or not, in the creation of us, just even if looking at Earth itself, that we have water, okay, liquid water, which makes this planet very unique. If you look just at our solar system, then, you know, it's one of the few planets out there right now. There, you know, there's others that are suspected. But the beauty of this planet, the wonder of this planet is so amazing that it has been able to support life. So there was much expected of us. So it wouldn't surprise me if every once in a while the ETs came along and went, okay, this group isn't going to make it. Let's just wipe them out and start again.
But they wouldn't do that, would they?
No, I don't. Well, again, I don't know. You know, very difficult for me to say, because when I look back at the time of the plague, and, you know, there are times on this planet that were very, very dark. And, I mean, I can't even, my daughter really relates to some of these times, you know. And I can't even go there. I cringe. You know, I can actually smell the smells, and it's like, oh, there were dark ages on this planet, very dark.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm not certain that from an evolutionary standpoint, you know, whether I really don't know. Again, subjective reality. Would we believe that that could happen? Well, you know, purportedly it happened with Noah's Ark. Which, you know, again, if you get a chance, everybody, to watch the Ancient Alien series on the History Channel, they have some really interesting theories about that. But
what
also,
did they say about it?
Well, they've talked about the fact that actually the Ark itself was where the DNA of all these animals was taken. It became like a science lab.
Oh, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
it made an awful lot of sense. And so, you know, again, I rather than trying to take all the animals, they had the DNA. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about the fact that we are seeded by so many races. So all these races are participating through us, through our DNA, and which is why there are so many ships in the sky, whether we can see them or not. They're of a much higher frequency. Many of them are cloaked, but they are watching us with bated breath, okay, to see what we're going to do. And they're rooting for us, really rooting for us. At any rate, I'm going to go into channel Veronica and allow the team to come through and work with everybody with the giant puzzle. All right. So good to be with all of you tonight. And with you, Veronica.
Thank you, and you.
And Robert, we know you're back there, and Seth, wherever you are. Interesting concepts for all of you, and we understand that some of them are feel pretty out there, but again, we're going to say to you, you're just beginning now to open up some of these things that have been secreted from you in a way. It wasn't time. It would have been too much. But you're far enough along now to be able to play with these ideas. Now you're not going to believe them all and not going to accept them all, and that's fine. Work with what you can understand. Play with it, you know. There comes a time on your planet, there have been other times as well, when everything that you knew at the time turned out not to be true. Part of your evolution is reaching those benchmarks. Just like your children doing now, finding out about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. And it's time now for many of these old beliefs to fall away. And for you to wrap yourself around the history of your planet, the true history of your planet, and play with these ideas and concepts which will, as we've said before, open, definitely open new neural pathways in the brain. And the exciting part, DNA, people, DNA. This is exciting. You've all wanted to know, when's my DNA going to open? When's my DNA going to open? Now, this is when you start. So let's talk about the Earth. You all know that the Earth is a sentient. Again, you know, this is something that you talk about, you know, the Earth's alive, and call her she, and but define it, all right, into something that you can see, feel, and we could say, well, we know. All of you feel the Earth at some capacity. on touch with nature. We're not arguing that point with any of you. We're not saying that you aren't evolved. Of course you are. And of course you have great love for her. But the concept of working with this as a puzzle, because in reality this is the closest thing we can give you. The puzzle itself is actually multidimensional, but we don't want to make this any more complicated. We like to keep things simple. It's so much easier to integrate. You can get more complex down the road. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take you all into a beautiful meditative state. And if you will allow yourselves now just to close your eyes, wherever you are, if you're sitting at your computer or laying in your bed with your laptop, wherever you may be, allow yourself to relax. And with your permission, we will surround you, coming right through your computer screen, touching you in some way, touching your consciousness. You may not feel a physical touch. And come with us now. Lifting out of your body. Up through the roof of your house. As we lift above the earth. All together now. All of you, moving so fast, so comfortably as you move above your cities and your states, very rapidly now. And above your country. And as you begin to take in the curvature of Earth, now depending where you are in the world, you're going to be seeing it from your perspective. And for a moment, to make this easier, and we can do this because it's all an illusion anyway. We're going to flatten the earth out, opening her up instead of being round or quasi-round. We're going to open her up so that you're able to see the entire earth like you would on a flat map. And you can see those places that are in daylight, dusk and night with all of their lights. And we're going to change this vision now. And we're going to light up the entire earth in a way that you can see it all with no darkness. We're going to drop down just a little bit, so that you're able to see it all without being too close. And now all of the puzzle pieces, the borders of all these puzzle pieces lighting up. Now for you it'll look possibly like one mind, but here's where you're going to see the difference. We're going to light it all up. And we're going to darken it. And now we want you to send love and light to something, anything, it doesn't matter, not necessarily on the earth, but to feel love in a way that you've never felt, just filling yourself with love. Love of self is fine. Would be wonderful if you could do that. And if you can't do it for you, do it for your higher self. And now open your mental eyes and you'll see bright lights like beams coming up on different places on the earth. This is what we see. When you're in a state of love and joy, regardless of day and night, we read the light. Now, we want all of you to focus on the goal. In any way you want to do it, manner is not important. Whether you do as Veronica, capping, right, where it's leaking, or filling the entire gulf full of light, really send that energy. All of you, as much as you possibly can. And now look at the earth. And see what happens to the gulf as it's so bright. Almost a blinding beam of light coming up from the gulf. And trailing out into the Atlantic in places, because that's what you're doing. Realizing that it's moving now. Now let's corral in some of the oil that's going into the Atlantic. Let's corral it in, pushing that light back into the Gulf now. Pushing the light back into the Gulf. And now to every living thing and every suffering thing in the Gulf. Every fish, every mammal, every plant, including kelp, those things growing at the bottom of the ocean, everything along the shore, filling it with light and love. This is who you are, people. This is how powerful you are. This is how magical you are. And this is the kind of impact you have. One thought can change anything. A negative thought can have the reverse effect. For those of you that may feel a lot of anger and frustration, the energy that you emanate is felt by Earth because you are part of Earth. when you snipe at someone, children, animals, dogs, drivers, whatever, solicitors on your phone, you're sending out a negative charge. Out and in. Out and in. And this is how we read the energy of Earth. You are all the barometers, whether you realize it or not. This is the reason that emotional healing is so important. Now, we know you can't be loving all the time. You're humans. You're still dealing with polarity and duality, etc. But we ask you to be responsible as you can be. To think about, really think about what you're doing and the impact that it's having. Now, the light that radiates from you, that comes out, impacts the entire universe and the entire multiverse. It is felt at some level by all of creation. Now, we know that's a big responsibility. And we also know that you're all in a healing process. All of you. We know you have negative thoughts. They're going to surface. You're going through tremendous healing, all of you. Now, the question some of you are having about anger. All right, what do I do with anger then? I'm supposed to express it. Yes. Anger is a real emotion. Go there. If you've got anger, don't stuff it. Express it. Take 10 minutes, 20 minutes, express the hell out of it, and then be done. Don't carry it around with you, leaking all the time, all the time. And love. Many of you can't love yourselves yet, not fully. So love what you can, because the important thing is the feeling, the emotion. If you can't love yourself, love another. Love your animals. Love the earth. And if none of that works, love your higher self. Well, I can't even see my higher self. I mean, how can I try to communicate? And do it anyway. The earth, we know you can. We know you can. Be conscious, people. This is part of taking responsibility for how powerful you really are. How powerful you really are. We're not trying to guilt you here. It's time now for you all to take your place consciously. We'd say grow up, but we don't want to offend anybody. To take your place as the conscious reality creators that you are. To stop thinking of yourself as insignificant or powerless, because none of you are. And each and every one of you are so important to the healing and ascension of Earth and its impact on the multiverse. And we're going to bring you back now. We're going to bring you back. Just come with us gently now. As the Earth looks smaller and smaller and smaller. Sorry, larger and larger and larger and larger. As it comes back into its true form as a planet. Coming over your country now. And your city. And your street. And back through the roof of your home and into your body. Know that we love you, everyone. We would love to work with you tonight. Some of you are aware when we do, some of you are not. That doesn't mean that we're not working with you. We are. Your requests are always heard, whether you realize it or not. To work with you, to learn more about your impact and your power and how powerful your love can be. Know that we love you, everyone, very, very much. Very much. And Veronica, you want to talk about your show quickly? We know you do.
Just very briefly, next Tuesday at 8 o'clock on BBS Radio, 8 o'clock on West Coast evening time, I'm having Diana Pepper of Tree Frog Farm. Diana is known as Fairy Godmother. She's little and speaks with fairies and creates a lot of products listening to the fairies, like flower essences and so on, and does healing energy. She has a lot to say about the earth and about plants and about divas and so on. So it'll be wonderful. That's 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. And then Thursday will be the meditation show and to call your call-ins at 7 o'clock. And 8 o'clock is you again, the team with Jackie. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica. We leave you all now with great love and respect for what you're all doing. Until we speak with you again in this format, dear ones. And until tonight, namaste. We still on, Roddy?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember that a piece of all of you is in Veronica and myself, and a piece of us are in all of you. And it can be no other way. We really are one. Thank you all so much. We love you. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Jackie. Thank you.
Night, Ronnie.